sent in tanks and troops to Ukraine.
Well, to be say, you can conclude that the invasion of Ukraine has begun. So the Western response seems to be very much in the form of sanctions. But what are they? Do they work? Maya Lester QC is a barrister and an expert on European sanctions. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's pretty helpful to go right back to the beginning here. And what are sanctions? How can they be used?
Well, sanctions are imposed by either countries acting alone, such as the UK or the US, or groups of countries together, like the European Union. In this case, it's regarded as really important to present a united front. So there's quite a big degree of coordination between the US, the EU, and the UK. But what they are is a mixture of different kinds of legal restrictions. Some, called targeted sanctions, restrict particular individuals, that's people or companies, from being able to hold assets or resources in certain countries, and also from being able to travel in those countries. And then there are wider, what are called sectoral sanctions, which could restrict, for example, the ability of Russia's state-owned banks to access Western debt. And of course, quite a lot of those restrictions have already been in place since 2014. And so what is being considered now is a significant ratcheting up of those sanctions.
And those sanctions won't only harm the interests of Russia, they will, to an extent, harm the interests of those who apply them, won't they? If you're talking about not buying gas or closing off gas pipelines from Russia, if you're talking about not allowing Russian money in the stock market, etc., etc. So how do you balance those interests, and what level of concern would you have then that Western countries wouldn't fully cut off and isolate Russia?
Well, excellent questions, and those are just the subject matter of fierce debate at the moment in the European Union and, of course, in the UK, because there are always pros and cons of sanctions, first of all, as to how effective they're regarded as being, but also whether the price is, worth paying, because, of course, for any business with Russia exposure, it's going to mean a lot of rearranging and thinking how to manage that. And, of course, economic harm, too, in some cases, to the countries imposing sanctions. I think with Russia, it's particularly acute because, as you said, there's a significant amount of Russian business in the United Kingdom. In the European Union, it's very difficult. 27 member states have to agree unanimously what to do. And, of course, some of them are extremely heavily dependent on Russian gas supplies. So this is not an easy calculation.
No. So what's your calculation at this point as to, I might be drawing you into areas with which you're not such an expert, but I don't know what your reading is like of Vladimir Putin, but in terms of what's on the table at the moment, but he's ignored the rhetoric, that's for sure.
Well, it's hard to know what will happen. I think at the moment what is happening is some sanctions will be announced today, but my guess is that will be the sort of first stage. And if there are further incursions into Ukraine or what's being called a full-scale invasion, then it looks as if there are certainly much more stringent sanctions to come. I mean, there's a certain amount, of course, that Russia can do and President Putin can do to make the pain less for the Russian economy, but it's very difficult. I suspect he has been trying anyway since sanctions were first imposed in 2014 to become less dependent on the dollar, less dependent on foreign investment, perhaps exploring trade with China as an alternative. So there are certainly things that can be done, but it's going to be very difficult to avoid some serious hit to the Russian economy. And of course, what impact that has on his decision-making, your guess is as good as mine at this stage.
I can't think of many examples, though, in my professional lifetime, where we've had an international crisis, sanctions have been applied, and the aggressor has stood down. Can you?
Well, that's a very good and hotly debated question. I certainly can't think of an example where the cause and effect is as obvious as that. And there are fierce debates about whether sanctions are effective or not. Of course, partly it's depends what one is trying to achieve. To some extent, signals are being sent about condoning or condemning behaviour. But if you're actually trying to coerce a behaviour change, I agree, it's very difficult. I mean, an example that's often cited of sanctions playing some role, at least, is in the Iran nuclear deal. But those were very far-reaching sanctions and are often attributed with being one factor in bringing Iran to the negotiating table. But I agree with you, it's very difficult.
Yeah, and in other places where sanctions have been applied or are being applied, it's not actually the government that suffers at all, is it? It's the people of the country.
Well, and that's often a criticism of sanctions across the board, the sort of collateral effects, and sometimes the leaders, particularly if they're dictators, leaders that don't respect the rule of law, don't suffer themselves. And that certainly seems to me a valid argument. But fortunately, as you say, I'm a humble lawyer and not in the position of having to decide these things.
No. Thank you very much, Maya Lester QC, barrister, expert on European sanctions. So we've just been speaking to the health minister.